McAllister still going strongly in the closing minutes.
Great run by Kevin McAllister! What a goal that is!
Delivery's good, there's Hagen. Now McGrath, he scored!
It's Stokes on a hat-trick! Goal number three for Anthony Stokes.
Alston saw off Robertson and delivered! Sidibe scores! That's the goal! That's the moment! Samuel off and running again. Is it going to be the hat-trick? You know it is.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Welcome to Falkirk Daft, it's your unofficial Falkirk FC podcast dedicated to everything to do with the Bairns. I am John McAnally. Get ready to strap yourself in for an epic this week as we look at the good, Alloa, and the bad and the ugly, let's combine them into two, Skelty. We can't do the ugly though without Ross Wayne. All right, Ross, how are you?
It was all right until you had a go at me 3 seconds ago. Aye, no, good. Well, obviously, the football was absolute rank rotten.
Listen. Saturday, you sat through that pain on Saturday. It was horrendous. But we will get into that in due course. But first of all, Ross, we have got to thank sponsors. Thank you so much to Arbuckle Contractors and Plant Hirers. They've jumped on board this week to sponsor Falkirk Daft. We thank you so much for that, Andrew and the team over there. They're based in Falkirk. They can offer the following construction and hard landscaping services: domestic driveway, porcelain or sandstone patios, steps, paths, decking and timber structures. Their services guarantee high quality, professional and excellent attention to detail, ensuring that all garden and maintenance work, whether domestic or commercial, is completed to the highest standard to ensure customer satisfaction. And with their extensive skills and experience, their business can develop and enhance any landscape requirements you may have and carry out any job contracts to the highest standard. Hard landscaping components can produce functional and beautiful multi-purpose outdoor space, and they're now taking offers for spring summer 2023. That's how busy and that's how good these guys are, that they're now taking in orders for spring and summer 2023. So listen, if you want any contractors, Plant Hirers, Arbuckle are the boys for you. www.arbucklecontractors.co.uk. Arbuckle Contractors, all one word, Arbuckle Contractors, contractors.co.uk. Andrew and the team will get you sorted out. If you're needing to do your domestic driveway, porcelain or sandstone patios, steps, paths, decking and timber structures, or you need to get some plant hire, speak to Andrew, tell him what we sent you along, and he'll get you sorted. Great Falkirk supporter, the Arbuckles, and again, we thank them for jumping on sponsorship for Falkirk Daft, Ross.
Absolutely, yep. No, if I'm ever looking for plant hire, I'll definitely be looking their way.
Absolutely. Right, before we get into, I don't even want to talk about the football, but before we get into a couple of things, Ross, I've got to question, first of all, when we went to the Alloa game, we went for a couple of pints beforehand, and there was questions over your get-up, Ross. I'm sorry to bring it up. You were sporting the Stone Island, but there was questions over the gilet. A lot of boys that went to, you're wearing the gilet on Tuesday night, and
I must have missed this chat. Was this behind my back? Was it?
I must have been. I thought they'd slag you to your face on this one, mate.
Is the problem the fact that I called it a gilet, or the fact that I didn't call it a body warmer?
No, it's just the fact you're wearing a gilet, mate. Right.
Listen, you can't mock fashion.
Still had the Stone Island, mate. You still had, leading the fashion, leading the casuals as ever. the other thing I was going to say, a terrible decision. There's some bad decisions made on Saturday. I think we'll all agree that. I think, however, the worst decision that was made in the whole day of Saturday was when we're in Elliot's and you got the bar to put on the Nottingham Forest Liverpool game rather than the Celtic Hearts match.
That was a great decision, John, because the mighty Forest beat Liverpool, which I didn't see coming, to be honest.
No.
I don't think anyone saw that coming. But yeah, I was delighted. I think I was the only person in the pub that actually cheered when the goal went in.
You were.
So, but you're
everyone
right.
Kind of looked, it was that way. Everyone looked around going, what?
Why? But yeah, we missed a few goals in the other TV game, I suppose. But
we saw a few goals on Saturday as well. But
we saw a few in our game as well, didn't we?
We'll get into that in a wee bit. Listen, I had a moment like last week, right? So you might not know it, but my brother is behind the Crunchy Initiative, who they got the stand renamed, the South Stand renamed as Kim McAllister Stand. And I had a bit of a moment last week, Ross. I don't know if I tell you this. I can't remember if I did.
I don't know if you did, actually.
But, right, so my brother, the Chelsea programme had done an amazing write-up on Ken McAllister, like 4 pages in the Chelsea programme. I mean, you look at it, it's amazing. Like, Thiago's on the front of this programme. You look down the...
Crunches in it.
Exactly. You look down the list of the players in the back of it, and you're like, God almighty, and you think, wow. And there's 4 pages dedicated to Crunchy. That was when they played West Ham. And by the way, in other news, it still messes with my head that Billy Reid is the assistant at Chelsea.
Yeah, what's that all about?
It's still mad. Anytime you're watching, there's Billy Reid, the wee fat Hamilton manager on the touchline with Graham Potter, and it messes with my head. But anyway, so David had got this programme sent up from Chelsea. And he said, oh, I need to, before the Alloa game, he said, oh, I need to go and drop it off at Crunchy. So one, I now know where Crunchy stays, right? Now, I don't know what it is, Ross, and I don't know if you're like this or is it just me, but see, when you meet a Falkirk player, especially when it's an absolute Falkirk icon and legend, Ken McAllister, you just go to bits. So anyway.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So you now know where he lives, and I take it you're doing this podcast from his front garden.
He stands there, yeah, exactly. But, like, he said, do you want to come up? I said, no, because I'm like I say, I'm just like, I've met some famous people in my time, you know, working the radio, you meet a lot of famous people.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, no, I can't. So I just sat in the car, and I thought, I'll wait for him. And then, like, 5 minutes later, he's away chatting away at Crunchy, blah, blah, blah. And then the bulging starts walking towards the car, and I'm like, oh, no, he's coming over. So I get out of the car. I'm like, Kevin, how you doing? You're going to the game tonight?
You said that high-pitched tone, did you?
Yeah, you going to the game tonight? Oh. And so I just talked shite, and I've met Kevin now a couple of times, and like I do it every time. I just go to bits like a wee schoolgirl meeting Harry Styles.
Superb.
So I was just like, so Kevin did listen to the podcast, so he did say he listened to the podcast. So thanks very much for listening, Crunchy.
Absolutely.
And I honestly
like Crunchy.
I'm sure I'm not the only one that does this when they meet folk. Maybe I am, but just...
No, listen, I remember, and it's not in the same vein, but I remember years ago, I was going to look at a car, and Kevin Drinkle was the car salesman. And I didn't really want... I didn't see anything. I was interested. I just had to pretend that I wanted a car. Just so I could have a chat with him. He's pretty boring, but it was Kevin Drinkle.
Fair enough. So yeah, listen, get in touch if you had awkward encounters and just like hero worshipping moments with Falkirk players, let us know. Get in touch on all the usual social media channels. Last week, Ross, we were talking obviously the fantastic video, which is Falkirk buses from December 1992. Bairn Supremacy's been in touch, reached out on our Twitter. He says, on the subject of good YouTube videos, love this one for a blast from the past. Don't think there's much on the terrace footage from Brockville. It's basically a video of Brentford, and I don't know if you remember this. What we'll do is we'll retweet the video, but it's from 5 minutes in. It's ace, pretty much the best point of view experience outside of Pornhub, he says. Basically, it's like a kind of fans experience of Brockville. Wee Crunchy runs over to the choir about 5:55 to get the Hope Street end singing, come on you Bairns, and when there was a choir, it was always great to hear. Then at 6:58, we hear a great He's White, He's Blue, He's Shat and Simon Shoe. I'm going to post this video up on our Twitter, because it's a whole bunch of Brentford fans coming up, because there's that real connection between Brentford and
there Defford, was.
Isn't there?
Yeah, no, there was. And I actually remember being at the game. I must have only been, I don't know, 10 or 11 or something like that. But I do remember them, because it's odd to see another team's fans in your grounds.
Yeah.
And there's only been a couple of times over the years that this has happened. And I remember them coming up. And I think one of them might have had like a weird head dress on or something like that. I'll need to have a look at the video again, but yeah, I do remember it. But there was a good tie up with the club, and because of the whole Eddie May thing, Richard Cadet. So, brilliant video. As you said, we'll share that on the socials for those that haven't seen it. But it is a belter.
Yeah. Another, we're talking about club tie ups, and this was pointed out again by my brother. We were talking about this in the pub that Aston Villa and Falkirk have a bit of a similarity, and like obviously we've got Stephen McGinn, they've got John McGinn at the moment, so we've got that connection. But this hasn't been pointed out, and I'm wondering if there's more connections with other clubs that Falkirk have. But when they won the FA Cup, they won it in 56-57, and they also won it in 1912-13. Obviously, it was the 2 years that Falkirk won it, and I think. They were runners-up when we were in the cup game against Rangers. I'm pretty sure it's something like that.
Yeah, that's a good wee coincidence, a good wee start in it. So I can't think of any other tie-ins we've had with Aston Villa over the years. But yeah, no, that's a real good shout out. See, when we were in the 97 final, were Sunderland not in the cup final that year? Because I remember the people talking about that, because we,
yeah,
do you know what I mean, the whole thing there. Yeah, so yeah, no, that's a good shout out. Like,
yeah, I wonder if there's probably a lot of connections like that with other clubs, but I wonder if there's a Villa Falkirk supporter society. I very much doubt it, but if you've got any of those, reach out to us as well. I'd love to hear from it. Got to go to some news, and for the first news, it's just broken just before about to record the podcast, is the Scottish Cup draw has been made, Ross.
Yes, the mighty Wick Academy away. So it's an absolute belter of a trip, like.
Oh, can you remember Falkirk ever playing Wick?
I think we have, but I'm sure it was like a pre-season thing, maybe in the mid-90s.
Right.
I would need to look, but that's the only time I remember playing them. I honestly can't think of what the score would have been or what the occasion. I can only assume it was like a Highland tour that we did, but it's some trips. What, 5 hours?
We've just looked at it on Google Maps there, Ross. It is between 4.5 and 5 hours drive from Falkirk, and we're just looking at the trains. Obviously, the trains have been a bit dodgy recently in terms of everything that's going on. But right, I've typed in, you're not getting a train. Let's put it that way, right? I've just typed in Saturday the 26th, right? Falkirk, any? 12 minutes past 10 is the earliest you can get, according to this. And
12 minutes past 10 in the morning?
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't make it, though, would you?
Well, no, it gets into Wicket 20 past 6, mate. So
so it's bus or bust, isn't it?
So. You've got me to... So it looks as bus or car for you against Wick. That is going to be a hell of a journey.
John, I can almost hear the cans opening at 6:30 in the morning just now, to be honest. I might have just heard it in the distance.
I know. It's going to be some drive up there. So good luck to any Bairns if you're braving the journey up there. I mean, the thing is, well, you wonder, will they put it as an early kickoff because of the floodlighting and stuff as well? They can't do that, surely.
I hope not, because we'll end up leaving about 3 in the morning.
I know, exactly. But no, so Scottish Cup draw, Wick away, some game that is going to be lovely part of the world, though. So
yes, it is. I actually went past it a couple of years back. I was doing the NC500 with the family in a motorhome, and I remember driving past it thinking, this is a bloody long way for a football game. And we're now going to see it for a football game. So
Certainly are. So 26th of November, that tie takes... I don't think it'll be getting moved for television, so I think we can say...
I wouldn't have thought so. No.
So 26th of November, that's one to look forward to. Get in your dyes right now. Falkirk Support Society, Ross, they've got their window open now for the Fans Director nominations, isn't that right?
I think it closed yesterday, John. I think it was open for up until you can now nominate yourself. Sorry, I beg your pardon. So that is now open, which is great. I think you've got a nomination form to fill in for any support society or member that's able to put themselves forward. Hopefully there's a good amount of interest in it, and Maybe we can help the support society with doing like a
Do you know what I would love to? Yeah, exactly. I'd love to see if anyone gets over to have a hustings live on Falkirk Daft and just try and throw questions out. But yeah, if you want to, I mean, what they're saying is they're obviously looking for, there's a bit of commitment involved.
There is.
In this kind of fans director role. They've said candidates should have some relevant experience which can be transferred to leading a football club and representing Falkirk fans' interest. It says, well, working closely with directors and club staff to move our club forward on and off the pitch, successful can also be expected to play a key role in communicating with fans and continuing to improve the relationship between all Bairns and the club. It's 2 years as well. You'll be obviously on the board. And yeah, if you can get your nominations in before midday on Friday. If you sign up to the Falkirk Supporters Society, you see all the details and stuff on the Facebook if you're a member now, and you can nominate yourself. Should be interesting. It'll be, you know, it is a lot of work and a lot of commitment needed, but I think there's a lot of people out there that will be willing to do it.
I hope so. We obviously need the right people, but you need passionate people as well. So hopefully there's people out there who I've maybe got a small amount of time. I don't think they need hours and hours and hours every week. But if they've got the time and they've got the passion to do it, it'll make a huge difference to not just the support society, who obviously need that secondary person in the boardroom along with Nigel Serafini. But do you know what? We deserve a place at the table with the amount of shares that the support society have now got as a collective. So, yeah, fingers crossed they get the right person in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, listen, I think we've put it off long enough. Let's get into the good, the bad, and the ugly of Falkirk this week. And we couldn't do it without a guest pundit. Every week we get on another supporter to look back at the games. And this week it is Scott Steele.
How you doing, Scott?
Thanks, lads. Thanks for asking me on. Appreciate it. Thank you.
No worries. Well, thanks for coming on, Scott. We'll get into Tuesday and Saturday in a minute. We keep trying to put it off, so let's put it off a bit longer by asking you, how did you get into the Bairns? What was your first Bairns game, Scott?
Well, this is a good gin. Our very first game was Falkirk 7, Queen of the South 5.
Oh, what a first game that is!
And it's been downhill ever since. Falkirk 7, Queen of South 5, my father, my grandfather, Tainers, and I was 4, Derek was 6, just on 6, and my father said to us years later, he says, I couldn't get it through to you. He says, I sat you down on the couch, and says, this does happen every week, because we were like, can we go again, and we've been trying to recreate that ever since, but it's no work. Yeah. That was the start for us. It's in our blood and it's in the family. So
I mean, no wonder after that game you've kept returning, Scott. Like you say, it's not exactly replicated itself really since then. But
certainly hasn't.
Who out with the Holy Trinity as well, Scott? Who's been your favourite Falkirk player?
Well, there's a lot there. There's a lot, but see, we've been, I would say, privileged to be going from that young age. We caught 5, 6, 7 years of John Markey. John Markey played 451 games for Falkirk, and we also had the privilege of seeing 10, 11 seasons of Jordy Watson, the goalkeeper, Jordy swinging the bar, 420 games or something like that. They were heroes for us in that day when we were young laddies, eh? I mean, the word legends used quite loosely, I think, nowadays, but 415, 420, they're legends.
That's amazing.
They're legends for Falkirk. So I would put the two of them down as out with the other three that you mentioned.
It's funny you say that, though. It's names that never crop up often enough. And like you say, these guys, the amount of appearances they put in for the club, it's names that we should be hearing more often.
Yep, agree with that. It's maybe an age thing as well.
Aye.
Because I'm maybe showing of age here, but there's everybody's category from the age group that they grew up in. And I think when you're younger, you attach yourself to players when you're But you know that impressionable age when you're just maybe hitting your teens and all that, you need that. But from different eras, there's obviously going to be different heroes. But I would put these two guys up there with the best time.
No, absolutely. We're if you're not watching the YouTube version, Scott has got something going on in the background. It looks like a ventriloquist dummy you've got there in the background, Scott. What's happening there?
Yeah, that's my son. Did I get away with that? No,
he's got too much hair, Scott.
Does it look like the postman? This is Jerry Mahoney, who is the band Blabber's mascot, but he also appeared on the front of the CD for our cup final in 2009. Strangely, I don't know if you noticed this, but. See, when we logged on here, his head's down after a defeat. And it's up after a win. I can't explain it.
Scott,
there's one thing I've got about like Christmas cards, right? And see folk that put their dog's names on a Christmas card. it doesn't get it for me, right? But I put Jerry's name on it. Like, I've been talking. And folks whispering, and I didn't know they had a son. My wife drew the line. My wife drew the line when I was putting them in the shopping trolley, like in the wee baby seat of the shopping trolley in Tesco. You were getting a few changes, but no, Jerry Mahoney, band mascot, all round Fokker supporter, and now a member of the Fokker Supporter Society.
Is he really fantastic?
Excellent.
There you go.
Here, Scott, talk about the Supporter Society. Are you putting your name forward for this directorship?
No, but Jerry is. no. a couple of folks asked me that, and it doesn't suit me.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Hopefully we get some there, and we have the election on coming up soon, and the nominations have to be in by Friday of this week.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can get somebody that's credible and represents the fans, and we'll do a good job because we need that. No, we need fan representation, and we need the right people in the place here.
Yeah. You mentioned as well, Bladdered. Was that the official 2009 Falkirk song for the Scottish Cup final, Scott, would you say?
Yep. After the semi, I had the idea when we go to the semi-final, I thought, see if we get through the semi-final, it'd be good to have a song and all that, eh? And we got the ball rolling, we go into the studio, recorded, and the time you got the stuff sent away and came back, in true Falkirk fashion, the CDs arrived on the Monday after the cup final.
Nightmare.
So we had to sort of re-release it for 2015.
Yeah.
They're still available. They're still available.
Can we hear them on? Can we hear this on Spotify or anything like that?
No, but do you want me to play it?
Do you want me to play it? One of these guys at the party, he's got the guitar right next to him. Do you want me to play it? I just happen to have my guitar here. It's all right.
I wasn't going to do this, but I've had two whiskies, so. We're going to Hampton at the end of May. See you on the barrels. Final day, seen off the jam top and those fighters team. Aha! We're going for glory now. It's really navy blue. I said, oh, whoa, come on, Falkirk, go, whoa, come on, you baby, go, whoa.
Oh, Oh, fantastic. Live music. Listen, let's get this. Get this CD at the stadium and everything. Let's get this played at the stadium, Scott.
We do.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Right. We've had music. We've talked about Scott's history. We've talked about ventriloquist puppets. We're going to have to talk about the football now. But let's talk about the good first, will we? We'll talk about the good first. Alloa, last Tuesday. Ross Wayne, happy.
I was very happy. That first 45 minutes, unlike Saturday's first 45 minutes, was just outstanding. What a start. Like, I didn't even, like, guys were still coming in. So I missed the first goal because I was looking, shaking somebody's hand. And then, so I missed the first goal. It was that quick.
I did the same.
Yeah. But yeah, what a start. Absolutely brilliant. And we just absolutely destroyed them, to be honest.
I mean, yeah, it was that way, Scott. And first goal, I mean, like you say, you hadn't taken your seat. And then there's Aidan Nesbitt, who last week, I believe we were criticising delivery of the ball. Great ball into Brad McKay at the back post and the header in the back of the net. Again, just that first 45 minutes, Scott, was the best of the season so far? Or is that taking it too far?
I wouldn't say that. No, I think you're spot on with that. We came in right out of the blocks, one touch passing, direct, creating chances, scoring goals. We can't ask much more than that, and that's how you should start a game, and we blew them away. There was people saying maybe the game was finished at 2-0. It wasn't really finished till it was 3-0. So for me, the game was over at half time, but very, very impressed, very pleased with the way we played. Half time, we're all sitting probably getting greedy, we're wanting 5 or 6.
Yeah,
that's what we do. But I thought taking off Morrison and El Agria, probably saving them for the next game. They got a sniff at it when they came back into it, but we started very well. We had the game won by half time, and you can't ask much more than that, to be honest.
What a worthwhile time it was saving Morrison for Saturday.
I mean, we made a few changes. We made a couple of changes. One of them was being Brad McKay coming at right back. Like we say, he's been in the park 2 minutes. He's got a header and it's a goal. And then he goes and assists Allegri and you're thinking, bloody hell. But yeah, I mean, what did you make of the changes, Ross, that we made? Were the right changes to make after the Montrose game?
I didn't see the Brad McKay one, to be honest. I didn't see that one happening, but he proved me wrong anyway, because I think I must have mentioned last week's podcast, or it was maybe a tweet, that I didn't think he was the right man to be right back. But yeah, even on Saturday, actually, didn't do too badly in that position, but good-headed goal. Obviously, as I say, I missed it at the time. I was looking the other way, so I literally saw it ruffle the net. But having watched it back, good strong header he got on it. He got up early as well. A bit like Farid back in the day. Just he rose that extra 10 seconds early ahead of the defender, got a good noggin on it. So, and Allegria, brilliant as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's the two changes we made. And there's the goals that come for it. I mean, pretty much two tap-ins, really effectively, wasn't it? But I mean, he seems to be there and there about and sniffing for it.
He gets himself into these positions, Scott, doesn't he? He's a poacher, and that's not a bad thing to have.
Oh. I remember, his name is escaping me now. It was the same when Allegria came. Just get that first goal, the monkey off your back. And then you relax, and he's getting into these positions. You had one previous to score, and I think the cross from Nesbitt, and he's getting there. And I think he's up to 5 goals now. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah,
5 goals and 12 league games. That's not a bad strike rate. I mean, keep that going, you're looking at 15, 20 a season. So we need that. Yep, and he's doing well. Yes.
No, absolutely. I mean, so you're 3-0 up. You know, you're absolutely crew. I mean, Alloa didn't really lay a glove. I mean, shout out as well, obviously, it was the Hogarth derby, Jane, Nicky at either end. And we were looking, and it was actually, Jane, Nicky's mum, Linda, we thought this was a Scottish football first, but apparently it turns out it wasn't, unfortunately.
Yeah, there was there's a few brothers that turns out they've played each other in there.
Yeah, I did, which really, really surprised me. But it was lovely to see them, obviously, you know, especially at the end of the game, walking off together. And I don't think Jay had much a chance for any of the goals, in fairness to him.
Do you think, I know, like, we're saying he probably wouldn't have done right, but see if it was my brother, or, well, I've got a sister, but see if my sister was in goals for the other team, I'd be going right round you. Like, I'm going to be digging there as they walk off the park, you know.
Of course you would, Brie, your brother, of course you would be greeting all that chat, absolutely. Jane is the Hogarth's mum, who put up a couple of posts of it, and there was a big feature in the paper with the two of them as well. We just, again, that second half, there was chances. I mean, the one that struck me out was McGuffey when it was 3-on-1. And McGuffey had so many options. Like, the keeper was off his line. So one, he could have tried to lob the keeper, which I thought he would have done. It would have been amazing if he didn't. He's got it in his locker to do that. Then he had, I think it was Morrison and Leg. It was who? Morrison and Burrow, either side of him. Or you know, and you're just thinking, come on, Craig, what, you take an option. It could easily have, you know, we just didn't, it didn't feel like we could have put them to the sword, and we just took our foot off the gas. And that seems to have been the case this season, Scott. Do you agree?
Yep, we're creating chances, and that's a positive. That's something to take as a positive. But like McGuffey there, he had three options and he chose the fourth one. Like, you could really bury some teams with the chances that we have created up until Saturday. And I think long term, it's a good problem to have rather than about you're not creating enough. Yeah. But we really need to start, percentage-wise, delivering some of that and converting, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anything else stood out from you for the game? For me, I thought Aidan Nesbitt, again, what an engine that boy has. He was all over that park. I thought he had a really, really good game. Poor goal to lose, I thought. Ross, anything else that you can pick the bones out of the alley?
No, I think you're right. I thought Nesbitt again was good. Do you know, see, when the subs came on, I genuinely thought this is going to be the players that will come on are going to shine because they're going to be desperate to try and get their place back. And it just didn't click at all or when the subs came on. It almost felt like the players thought, oh, well, the game's done. We've got Saturday to worry about. And I agree with Scott, we were kind of wasteful with the chances that we did have in that second half. In terms of the Alloa side, I thought they would have been a bit better as well, to be honest. Yeah. It didn't even feel like playing Alloa because they were in that stupid orange strip. I'm not even, like, what was that all about?
That would die, yeah. What was that all about? Why did they not wear their home strip?
I don't know. But then, don't get me on the strips.
Oh, my God, we'll get into that in a minute. As well, so. I've got a whole issue about that, like you two as well, Ross, about Saturday. But yeah, there was a couple of refereeing decisions as well. He didn't take it back from advantage and he gave Alad advantage. I mean, the refereeing, and we'll probably speak a wee bit more about it when we talk about Kelty, it's just been, again, it's mystifies me. But one thing I would say is, please ban drums from football. Honestly, I know they're there for create atmosphere and all that, but gee, unless you're Dave Grohl or Neil Peart or, you know, a good drummer, don't take a drum. Listen, if you're going to play a bit of, you know, rhythm and all that sort of stuff, but just people battering drums at football, get that in the bin. Scott, I'm a musician. Do you agree?
Well, I don't agree. I'm a musician to start with. So, no. No, drums are just a pain in the butt. And see, if you've maybe been out on a Friday night and you're a wee raging hangover and that's bumping your head. No chance. Like you say, there's a bit of rhythm and a song behind it, aye. But no, it's not for me, I've got to be honest. The guys that are with them, sitting next to them, that's bound to be torture, surely.
I know, but you know, we did miss out on an opportunity, I have to say. You know the Yaya Touré Kolo Touré chant? We could have done that for Nicky and Jay. And we missed out an opportunity.
Why isn't the Falkirk fans singing one, them singing the other?
Aye, it could have been a beautiful thing. Then if the drummer was playing along with that, that would have been acceptable if we'd had a bit of that. But aye, we should arrange that before the match for the Alloa podcast. Damn it. Never mind. Opportunity lost. Alloa will rattle through views from the supporters, all pretty positive. Martin says, proverbial game of two halves. However, the brown sauce battle bottle ran dry at half time. A bit like the team wanting more, even just one more. I know, I mean, Allegri must have been desperate for his hat trick.
It would have been nice, awesome if he had. He deserved it with the work rate he's putting in. And obviously, he was silly up at Peterhead with the sending off, but it would have been nice for him to have got that, definitely.
Yeah. Mike says the team played so well in the first half, or three up at half time. Second half, Alloa came more into the game, and Connor Salmon was like a devil possessed, throwing his weight around, flailing arms and legs, the full shebang. Nevertheless, got 3 points and now just four behind the Fifers. That was, we're still only four behind. But, Connor Salmon always does it against us, doesn't he?
It's always the same, isn't he? Always the same.
Always likes to prove himself.
John says, game over in no time. Thought McGlynn might have given Lawal second half. Let us see what he can do. I actually agree with it. Seems a similar situation to the big Albanian we had on loan last season, who looked good when on the park, but just never got a run in the team. It does pose the question, Scott, is there something there with Lawal? Because he doesn't tend to get that long, although he got a bit longer on Saturday, and I actually thought he came on and played pretty well.
Yep, I like him. Definitely like him. Creative, something different. If rumours are to be believed, they like him going forward, but he's not quite switched on game-wise, as in getting back into position.
Defensively.
That might be right, that might not be right. But he's certainly a talent that we can use, and he's got to earn that himself, the more game time. And you've got to trust the management's judgment through seeing him in training and stuff. I think for winning any game, you need 4 or 5 game changers. And he's a game changer.
Yeah.
And we need to get him, or get yourself up to speed more. But he's definitely got some about him, aye. Yeah.
Kitty says 3 goals, 3 points up the road. And David finishes up, bottom line, we've got 3 points, that's what matters. But I hope McGlynn asks questions about that woeful second half performance, which Alloa beat us 1-0, and it could have been more. And talking of which, did we learn from the second half going into the first half against Kelty on Saturday? No, we didn't. 3-2 Kelty Hearts on Saturday. We need to get around and talk about this one, guys. A lot to dissect from this game. Ross, I mean, where do you start?
You're right. We didn't start at all. It was very, very lethargic from the kickoff. They just seemed really well drilled. And I don't think, like some people are saying, Potter sort of outthought McGlynn. I actually think the failing was just at our side. I think you saw Potter, he was doing everything that McGlynn and Paul Smith do. Organising the team, instructing the team, all that jazz. They were all set up. I don't know what it was. It was like the game where we played them at Kelty all over. We didn't know what was going on. And before we knew it, we were 2 goals down.
Did Liam Henderson think the game started at 3:30, by the way? I don't know what was going on with him in that first 10 minutes. I was like, how, like a big lad like Liam Henderson, especially for your man's second goal, how is he getting struggling off the ball that easy? I mean, it was so easy. It was so simple, you know, and we obviously got the fright initially from Nicky saving, and then it comes out and you think, right, switch on, Falkirk. And he just didn't switch on. Big argument for the first one scores that. And again, the defence didn't look like it knew what time the kickoff was at, Scott. What do you make of the first 10 minutes? Because I was completely dumbfounded.
I think we all were, and I think we, after the start that we had against Alloa, we didn't expect it. We expected to come out of the blocks as we did against Alloa. Personally, I think I have mentioned this to Ross on Saturday. Was it maybe a wee mental thing that they've beat us before? Subconsciously, they're maybe not quite up there. But Kelty started on fire. A lot of seasoned pros in there. They know how to play the game. Even the likes of McGinn was off his game, I thought, in the first half.
Yes,
the whole midfield just didn't click. There wasn't the fight. It's the old cliche, like, win the battle before you win the game. And see, for every time I say, I'm not going to come out with cliches tonight, right? But see, every time I come out with a cliche, I'm buying Stevie Beveridge no alcohol bottle of beer, right? So that's one you can pick that off the bottle. He's doing a great job, actually, Stevie. He's off the sober for October, so he's doing it for a month.
Once Wick Away comes, it'll be Canny Remember November.
Aye, exactly. But no, I think they started on fire and blew us away. And even the second goal, Hogarth had a great save. We had four players round about Aggieman and still couldn't put a John Terry tackle in or a block, and they got the second goal and we're chasing it after that.
I agree with Scott said something about the individual battles. I don't think we did well at all with that on Saturday. Yeah. And see, for all McGinn's been brilliant. I don't think I'm not going to spend too much time kind of criticising the guy, right? But actually, it was what they were doing with him in terms of the so tightly man marked. He didn't have he wasn't even possible having his normal game. He didn't have time in the ball. He was rushing everything, and it just put us off. And do you know what worked? And we need to learn for this for the next time. We should have learned for the first one before Saturday, but we've not. And we need to learn for the next time, because you're not going to win the league, or you're not going to be up there getting beat off a lot of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, it was testament to the fact that we saw it, Ross, after 10 minutes. McGlynn was arguing with one of the supporters in the stand. You know what I mean? And he turns around and says, it's the same team that was played against Alloa. It's the same team that's out there. And
you could tell I was exasperated with it.
I think we all were. We're all just sitting open mouthed going, what is going on?
Yeah. I don't think he was pissed off with the fan. I think he pissed off with the fact that we're 2-0 down. And I think he probably agreed with the fan. Like, this isn't good enough. Because I think somebody shouted something along the lines of, you need to change it. This isn't working. And they were right. They were right. It was whatever we were doing wasn't working, right? Mm-hmm. And I get his point of view. It was the same team, but it was a different opposition, and we should have been ready for it. We should have, like, everybody knew Higginbottom was going to be a nippy wee shite, because he always is. Right? They've got other seasoned pros in there, as you said. They were just up for it, and they knew their job, and they did it well. We just didn't match them on Saturday.
Yeah. Do you know what it felt like? And it did. It felt like we were watching a team from the last couple of seasons playing on that park in the first half on Saturday. It felt that way. We were watching a team from the last couple of seasons, because, like you say, they weren't winning their individual battles. And have people figured out that if you go hard and go tight on McGinn, that it'll stop us from playing? Because, you know, let's face that, a lot of it goes through him, you know? I don't know if is that too harsh a criticism that people have figured out that, or John Potter figured out that?
That could be the case. I mean, nobody's infallible when it comes to that. They can do their homework on us like we can do their homework on them. But I think the three substitutions at half-time, Morrison, Oliver and McGuffey, told its own story. When we've got to, like, start the game and win the battles, and there's your midfielder substituted, and we had to change at half time. But we were chasing the game for the first seven minutes onwards, weren't we?
Yeah, was that the changes you would have made at half time, Ross?
If I'm being honest, probably I think Lowell I would have had on from that attacking sense, because we're having to get back in. Remind me of the three. So we had
Morrison, Oliver and McGuffey all went off.
I think the right subs went off. I genuinely think the right subs went off. I think, I don't know what happened though. We got going, and we definitely got going. And when the first goal went in, I think we all thought, right, here we go. You felt it in the crowd. Everybody was up for this, and there was a buzz. We obviously had a couple
great
of
finish by Wan, by the way. Great finish by Wan.
Absolutely brilliant finish. Absolutely brilliant again from him. And it showed you, he scored. He's trying to G up the players. McGinn, yeah. I think it might have been. was geeing up the players, the fans behind the goals and stuff as well. So they were all up for it. And then it was a real silly, silly goal to lose, because I think had we got the second, our second, before they got that third, you just never know how the game would have finished. But we're chasing it after that.
In saying that, before the shot, which obviously took a deflection and went in that way, Agyeman had a big chance for his hat-trick, and actually should, when he went through, he was pretty much one-on-one with Nicky, and it went into the side netting, but he should have had a hat-trick. And he looked he was a right handful, I thought. I mean, he ran out of steam, I think, in the second half, but that first half, he ragdolled a lot of our centre-halves.
I thought McCann did well in the second half.
Yeah, in fairness. When you look at it again, the pass marks, and we talked about this at half-time, Scott, I don't know what your view on it was, but the only people that got pass marks for me, probably, well, certainly over the 90 minutes, where McCann and Nesbitt, again, Nesbitt found a lot of space in the middle of the park, and I thought McCann was, again, his delivery was excellent, and he won his battles out in that left-hand side.
I agree to an extent, yeah. I thought Nesbitt was very good, and it would be my man of the match. I thought McCann at times struggled a wee bit in the second half against Agyeman, but he's had seven or eight great games in a row. We're not going to nitpick here, but there was too many failures. There wasn't enough. We didn't do enough. We weren't good enough collectively and individually. And even, I think, Nesbitt said in his interview, even just the short, snappy passing wasn't happening either, which we've been really good at. But they unsettled us, and that's the reason for that. But no, it wasn't good enough. We could have sneaked a draw just... But we ended up there sitting tight. The third goal killed us, albeit a deflection, but it just put us on the back foot again. And it wasn't enough. It wasn't good enough.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of resorted there. We didn't get our game, as we know, McGinn ball or whatever you want to call it. We didn't get that going at all in the whole match. And it just resorted to just putting Liam Henderson up the park, big long balls up the park. I mean, obviously we're chasing the game, so it did. And we could have got some joy out of it. I think, you know, with the obviously playing Burrow and Allegri together, which is the first time we've seen that happen, actually.
I like that.
You know, both got goals, got on the score sheet as well. It's an argument for looking for that going forward, using the two of them in the same team.
I think it's positive to see, but we were really chasing the game, and we had to be... It wasn't an act of desperation, but we had to change something and we had to sacrifice. So to me, for my untrained eye, it looked like a 4-1-3-2 at that point, which, yeah. I mean, Mourinho saying once, he says, there's always failures in every system, right? So if you're going to gamble putting people forward, there's going to be something no happening at the back. But we had to go for it. And to be fair, as Ross said, I think There was a bite and a determination once we came out in that second half and we got that first goal and everybody thought it could turn. The positive is probably the two strikers scored, and it's good to see that. Yeah. But it was too little too late, to be honest.
No, exactly.
I would like to see the two of them get a start, to be honest. I don't know if it's this Saturday. I don't think he would go two up front away from home. But and then obviously the next home game's the Pars. But why aren't we? I know people will say, "Oh, we are attack minded, and we are creating an awful lot of chances, right?" So I'm not advocating that we just abandon what's been working. But sometimes I think he is going to have to mix it up, like he did in the second half. They didn't expect us to do what we did, and to a certain extent, it made a bit of an impact. But there'll be games where he can't just play the same starting 11 with the same formation or the same way of working. It's just it doesn't always work.
Yeah. Let's hear from John McGlynn right now.
John, obviously not the result we were after today. Had a sore one after the defeat in New Central Park. You were saying you didn't want to be speaking every month or so about a blip, but what's your thoughts on today?
Well, everyone that's here can see that it's almost a carbon copy of the last game. You kind of give a team, any team, two goals at a start. Yeah, the great thing about losing goals early or scoring goals early, if whatever way you look at that, is that there's a time to get back in the game, you know. And the second half, the effort and the commitment that we showed in the second half, if we had shown that in the first half, we probably wouldn't have had any problems today, you know. But they were much sharper, quicker, more aggressive. And if you allow the opposition to be all these things better than you, then there's a chance you're going to lose. Goals you lose are poor goals. Corner kick comes in, we actually clear it well. But when the ball comes in, they've actually got four players against our two. And although we match the lad and Nicky makes a save, Hendo kind of like half clears it, we've still got in our bodies there after that to defend it better. And we allow Aguiman to come in the pitch, which again is something that in our principles shouldn't happen. We show away foot goal. Allowed him to come in and strong right foot, again, poor defending, and he strikes and scores. And it was opposite of Tuesday night with regards to us scoring an early goal. We've given the opposition an early goal. And, you know, a little bit like some other games where, we have to recognise what's happening in the game and how we have to change it on the pitch with regards to we thereafter that continue to play short and in our own half without actually testing the Kelty defenders. And it was seen that, you know, we lose the ball on the halfway line, we're open because we're a possession-based team, and we're, you know, you can't give the ball away cheaply like that because you will find yourself open because your players are in positions to receive the ball, and when you turn it over so quickly, so we end up very thin at the back again, and the lads ran through and finished it off, and we find ourselves two down, and you know, very very early in the game, and so the complete opposite of Tuesday night. So as I say, the second half we changed things completely, just played a lot more direct, got the ball forward, asked a few questions of the Kelty defence, and we managed to get in. You know, we managed to get in, and we turned the tide. We turned the game, and we get a goal. We get back in it. One scores, and we're looking to go forward and get an equaliser and build on that. We still need to defend situations, and we in that moment all we really had to defend was a corner kick. So for that corner kick, again, we actually get the first contact on it, we get a good header to the edge of the box, and then there's a shot comes in that goes by everyone and goes in the goal, and I think, we've tried to clear it, but somehow comes off and goes into the goal where it could easily have been cleared. I mean, there's soft goals to lose, poor goals to lose, but there's no good goals to lose, to be fair, but there's some that are produced from brilliance, and there's some that are scruffy goals like that. And even today, our second half was more like just guts and determination, because we needed that. We needed to have at least guts and determination. It wasn't our beautiful football that was going to get us back in the game. It was going to have to be effort and commitment and desire, and all these attributes that we're talking about are ones that should be gimmies. And and it just shows again that if we don't compete, then you give yourself a little bit of a mountain to climb. And although we got back into it and we had some other opportunities, we had the ball in the box plenty of times in the second half, we just needed one other one to go in. And we could have taken a point from the game, which was not even what we wanted at 3 o'clock or planned and prepared for. But on a day where you might not get things going your way, that you salvage something from it, and we didn't.
So there you go, John McGuinn's view on the game. The record was 3 minutes 46 for a question. I think he's beaten it this week. 5 minutes 10 for one question from John McGuinn. What did you make of what he had to say, Ross?
You can tell he's frustrated, and at least he doesn't sugarcoat it. which I hate. He calls a spade when
so
it's
so many not managers worked. In the last few seasons have done that.
Absolutely. He can answer a question properly, can't he? But no, listen, I thought he was spot on with his assessment. He will learn, and we will learn from it, because he will take, because you know the type of guy he is. He's so 100% in everything he does, and he'll probably watch the game back. He's probably watched the game back about five times, because that's the kind of guy he is, right? We just need the players now to take whatever feedback he's got on board, and we go down to Dumfries on Saturday and pick up the 3 points, because we need to.
Talking about Dumfries on Saturday, Scott, what changes would you make to that side then? Is McGuffey and Oliver the ones that kind of shine out for you, or is there anything else in the team you would change for Saturday, Scott?
You've got to keep the defence the same for me, because they've been consistent up until the Celtic game. McGuffey's position for me is always under threat. I always think that he'll play his way out the team rather than somebody else playing their way in the team. Though he can come out with something brilliant like at Montrose, but for me, 1 in 5 isn't good enough. I remember Peter Houston saying about Hippolyte. He says he's a 1 in 5 guy. You need to get that up to 3 out of 5. And I think the same's sort of with McGuffey. Did Kennedy do any favours for his sale when he came on? For me, it was pretty obvious he's very much right-footed, and he couldn't get the overlap for the fullback, so he had to cut in his right foot trying to get the crosses over. Maybe McGuffey, we've got to get Lawal in there at some point, aren't we? Despite his discrepancies, we've got to go for that. But I believe we can still go down there. We can still go down there and win, and we need to get down there with fans and back in numbers. Let's not dwell on the last game. Let's get down there in numbers, support the team. I mean, I always say that supporters, the word in there is support. We've got to get down there and we've got to support them through that 90 minutes. That helps. That helps the players. So, yes, we can go down there and do it. I would drop McGuffey, Oliver's position's under threat. The only two for me, yeah.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, looking at the stats there, you know, again, very on Falkirk, like 53% possession at home. We had 15 shots there, 6 on target. But yeah, it's the stats, you know, don't lie. And it wasn't brilliant from Falkirk. But we've all got to blame one person for this, and I've got to blame Ross Wayne, who basically coaxed out of Celtic, because I'm pretty sure John Potter would have pinned this up on the dressing room wall, where he put out a tweet saying, after Dunfermline Tidser was talking about how he respects Falkirk, Ross waded in and said, no point in him sooking up now, he was rank rotten, didn't look interesting, cost us a fortune, deal with whatever you get today, Tidser. And Tidser had a very good game. So I blame you, Ross Wayne.
Yeah, he did have a good game, unfortunately. Which makes it even more frustrating, because he was shite with us. He was. Let's not sugarcoat it, right? And I saw, actually, do you know, I don't mind when people come back at us in terms of, like, obviously, actual Celtic Hearts.
Retweeted it.
And then
Stephen Husband, former Dunfermline player and Celtic player, got involved as well.
Other guy, Tam Away, was that an ex-Pars player as well? When he was at Clyde or something, he had a bit of a go as well. But, do you know, it's part and parcel. But, for terms of Tidser, he did almost nothing for Falkirk. So That was probably his best game at the Falkirk Stadium on Saturday.
It probably was, yes, you're right. In fact, it was. Not great. Roll on. Let's try and find out how we do against Queen of South and, you know, go again, as they always say, isn't it? But let's have a look at what you guys are thinking about the game. Paul kicks us off saying, first half was brutal, second half ran out of ideas on how to grab an equaliser, desperate lumping it into the box.
Don't disagree. Chris says, really, really poor. Too many players give the impression that they think they're better than they are. Not sure why we resorted to hoofball for the last half hour. Today felt like last season performance and result. Could have lost by more if it hadn't been for Hogarth.
I have to say, that was a cracking save from Nicky when we were 2-0 down. I think it was at
Bogas, I was the boy from about 20 odd yards. That was a brilliant save from Nicky, who was left hand. John says Saturday showed the difference between a natural attacking fullback like McCann on the left and a stand in fullback Mackay on the right. Fully fit Williamson would make such a difference, but even Yeats at fullback would be better than Mackay. Chance to close the gap missed. I mean, when you look at it and you heard that result from. It was frustrating, wasn't it? When you obviously we went up there and we said in the podcast last week, we'll know if that's a good point or not when Dunfermline go in there. Then Dunfermline go up to Montrose and lose, and when we lose at the stadium, and it's just it's very frustrating, isn't it?
Very frustrating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think a lot of people expected them even a draw up there, and we're on the front foot. It does us a favour, but it's. Typical Falkirk fashion, but what it proves is though nobody's going to run away with this league.
That's no. True.
And we are only 4 points off the top, but despite a bad result there, we are still on the hunt here, very much so. I don't see anybody that's going to be going 10 points in front. That's not going to happen. It can turn around quickly. We expected to beat Kelty on Saturday. We didn't. See, we go down and beat Queen of the South, and then you beat the Fifers at home, you could be top of the league in 2 weeks.
I know.
That's the way it works.
Scott, I was
just going to say, when we lose.
I agree, Scott. I think there's loads of points to be won, and obviously that we're not going to win them all, but I think Kelty are away again on Saturday. I think they're at Easton Park on Saturday. Yep. And again, it's a derby game. They'll be up for it like they were when they played Dunfermline at home. So hopefully Kelty can go there with the same sort of outlook and passion and go and take something. And it would be absolutely beautiful if they did. And then if we can get the 3 points at Dumfries, it sets up a week on Saturday. Absolutely amazing, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys noticed, there's just a tweet came through from the club, do you know it? A statement from John McGlynn saying that after Saturday's diabolical result, all the players will be in tomorrow and they will be doing 45 laps of Gordon Prophet's waistline. That's just to make them off. So that's going to count as an ultra marathon, surely. maybe we'll know Desi well doing it, Dumfries, because I'll still be recovering. That's just to make them off. Check your social media.
Breaking news there. Craig says after the first game against them, McGlynn should have known how they would play. Tactics, strokes, teams to selection, completely wrong in the first half. Donaldson got bullied by a 5'7" Higginbottom all game. Better performance with the subs in the second half. I don't know if I thought the Henderson was poor. I thought Donaldson maybe just about got past Marks, but...
I thought Donaldson did okay, but I don't disagree with the statement. I thought Higginbottom... was annoying him all day, and it showed, to be honest.
But he does that. When
he does
that.
It every time, doesn't he? Yeah. Ian says, hopefully this puts an end to the McGuffey Oliver Nesbitt experiment. Thought Lowell looked a player when he came on. No idea he's not managed more minutes. Overall, very poor from McGlynn and not learning anything from the first game against that lot.
It seems to be a common theme. Drew says, no idea if Henderson is good enough. Probably not, I think. Wouldn't mind seeing Yeats back at right back and Mackay at centre back. So many passengers in that first half. Such a shite overall result. Can't have games like that and win the league.
I don't know if I'd make that move personally, to be honest.
I think we talked about Mackay at Alloa. You know, he got a goal, got an assist at Alloa, and he's very good at set plays as well. He's always hovering around that back post looking for a header, and he's very strong at that. But I think Liam Henderson, I think he just had a terrible day. I think that was just
I don't think Donaldson and Henderson warrant getting dropped, to be honest. No, not for me. Craig says, embarrassing today. They dominated us for most of the game. Physically, they were stronger and they had a game plan which they executed to perfection, aided by our utter ineptitude at the back. Every goal was pathetic to watch. Never going to win the league playing like that.
It's all very similar here. Elsa says, proverbial game of two halves. First half, utter mince. McGlynn got the shape and personnel all wrong. Second half, we battered them. Opportunity missed. The close gap in pars as they got meat by Montrose.
And last but not least, Karen says, the subs need to start next week. That's it.
Fair enough. Yeah. I wonder if he will start burrowing Lowell next week. I'll be interested to see if he does that. Hetherington, I mean, there's quite a few people that can, maybe Yeats gets back, put back into midfield.
I thought Yeats did really well when he came on.
Yeah, I thought he did as well. Yeah.
He put himself about really yeah, well.
Certainly, McGinn looked very annoyed when he got taken off, so I think hopefully a bit of fire under his belly. Really, no one picked up the captain's armband. That really pissed me off.
Yeah, I noticed that.
I don't know why that really messed with me, that no one, when McGinn went off, no one took the captain's armband. I don't know why. Anyway, that really annoyed me. Falkirk Daft rated for the week then. One player that we can pick out from that whole week, Aloha and Cody Ross, who are you going for?
Do you know, for the goals, I'm going to go Juan Alegre.
Big Juan. Bye, Juan. Get 3 goals. Scott, who have you got?
For the Alloa game?
Just for the full week, who are we going to... Who's going to...
I would have to go with Aidan Nesbitt.
Aye.
Because I think he's raised his game. He's a tryer. He'll not stop. It wasn't everybody's favourite last year, and we would all have got shot at him, I think, in summer. But the last 6-7 games, he's performed to a high level. And even when we're playing bad, he's delivered them. So I'd go for Aidan Nesbitt.
Yeah, do you know, I'm going to give it to Aidan as well. I think after me criticising his delivery, he got an assist there against Aloha, and I thought he just finds space so well. And in the middle of the park, I thought he was really good. So I'll go for Aidan as well. Falkirk Dafty! Ross, who are you going for?
It's a tough one, because I don't think I would have the same Falkirk Dafty for both games, but... you know, I'm gonna go Callum Morrison. He was so ineffective on Saturday, and I don't think you could say he was marked at the game. So I'm gonna go Callum Morrison this week.
Cal's getting it. Scott, you got anything different?
Well, it's different. I'd have picked any one of the three that got 10 off at half time there. Because there wasn't enough. So just to be different, I'm gonna go my pet hate, McGuffey.
I think I'm agreeing with Scott on this one as well. I've got to go McGuffey, and just that frustrating opportunity against Aloha, that really pissed me off. And I think the first half against Celtic was just, it wasn't at the game at all. So yeah, I've got to go to McGuffey. But Liam Henderson's first 10 minutes against Celtic potentially, or the first 20 minutes against Celtic, definitely got to go in there as well. Right, that's it then. We'll look back and it, fingers crossed, onwards and upwards, on to the next one. Scott, thank you so much for being our guest pundit on Falkirk Daft this week.
No worries, thanks very much. And could I just say thanks very much for having me on, and thanks for doing what you're doing, because it's raising the profile of the club. It's raising fans getting interested in the club. A difficult period where we've 4 years down here. It'd be easy to give up. And I think that's like Ross, myself, I've got involved in the Supporters Society. I remember that 6-9 against Queen's Park, and the 4-1 Airdrie, you're gutted.
Yeah.
And people are saying, you're sitting in the pub, but what can we do? Well, you can do this. You can join the Supporters Society. At least it's given some. The only way we're going to get out of this is by everybody coming together collectively and doing that extra wee bit, and that's on the park, and that's off the park, and that's the way ahead. That will work. If we keep bouncing at that, we'll do it, but we need everybody on board collectively and pointing in the one direction. Put all your personalities and your trivialities to the side. Let's get on board for the club, and let's do it. Just give that extra wee bit, and we'll get there. And you guys are playing a part by doing the podcast. So
thank you
very
much, Scott. And here, absolutely. Get involved with the sports.
Well, just one more thing, sorry. Somebody's whispering something in the background.
Yeah. Watch Jerry.
I didn't let you know that at the start. He's bisexual, and he says, I kind of fancy the big guy.
Oh, fabulous. Thanks, Jerry. Thanks, Jerry.
You hear a wee chap on the wind of the night, John? Keep well.
Fantastic. Brilliant. Thanks for coming on, Scott. And if you want to be like Scott, be a pundit, please get in touch with us. Drop us a DM on Twitter, Facebook, or you can drop us an email, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Right, Ross, the big question every week. We threw this one out last week. Off the back, we were talking about the funniest songs you've heard. We have now moved on to the funniest bits of banter or the funniest shouts you've heard at a Falkirk match. And we had a few responses on this. Thanks to everyone that got in touch. I think we'll have this open again for another couple of weeks because I think we're only scraping.
Yeah, there's got to be a few more coming through, I think, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah. So what is the funniest thing you've heard at a Falkirk match? Can you think of anything off the top of your head?
Mate, there's loads of random ones over the years, you know. It's the off-the-cuff stuff. I don't think I do have something at the top of my head. It's maybe one thing I'll need to sit down and rack my brains over the last over the next week or two. But there's times where you've just been left absolutely powerless by the odd random shout for either somebody sitting beside you or whatever the case may be. Yeah. Some of them you can't really share, I suppose. But even on our podcast, I don't know if you could share some of them.
It's the moment it goes quiet and someone just shouts out something.
There's been a few dodgy ones. As I say, the only one I've got grief for is the one I shared last week with the old Jerry McNee and Jim White one. But one of the guys who used to go to the football with us, he still goes, Big Davey Muir, he used to absolutely love calling an opposition player, telling them that their ma's a welder. And that was like on a weekly basis. home or away, someone's mum was a welder.
Can I put a shout out or against Aloha, right? There was a boy called, I think to be fair, I misread the back of the shirt. And it was Target, or I think it was Target who played for Aloha. And I shouted on Tuesday, I shouted, "Number two, you've got a target on your back." I thought it was completely, completely no-sold by everyone, apart from someone who turned around and went, ha, ha, ha. But everyone else is just like, that's terrible, Patter.
That's, it's pretty grim. I think we move on for that.
Right, okay, let's move on to all your suggestions that are coming in. Marshall, our friend Marshall, says years ago, Brockville, Kenny Ashwood, who's a target for the Boo Boys, went down injured and someone in the main stand shouted, "His suspender belt snapped!"
That's old school, isn't it?
Old school.
Yep. Craig says, a guy down at Somerset Park once shouted, "It's an arsehole he's got, not a rocket," after a ball was fired down the right, meant for Kieran Duffy.
Brilliant. Calum says, "This is Albion Rovers, no fucking AC Milan." I love shouts like that.
But you know, we must have been getting horsed that day or something like that. Oh, Jesus. Stephen says, Eddie Annans. Do you remember him? Eddie
Annans scored for Clyde.
He was all right, but he was always a bit of a nemesis
for them.
Eddie Annan scored for Clyde at the Hope Street end and put his finger to his lips to shush the crowd. About 10 minutes later, he took a clearance straight in the dish and was flat out cold. Stretchered off, barely conscious, the crowd en masse shushed him. Priceless. That's class.
Peter, this is going back to Brockville days as well, I think. He says, our Pamela shouted at Ali McCoist at Brockville whilst he was a couple of metres away, "McCoist, you're a shite ride."
I bet you Ali took that good. Tom says, concerning the radio-linked match officials, you're just a radio-controlled sandbag. Well, you said sandbag or shite bag?
A sandbag, maybe, yeah, because sandbags, aye. I could see that. Roger says, many years ago on midweek winter evening at Brockville, "For fuck's sake, Bairns, there's more excitement running at the kiosk than on the pitch."
Well, did they run out of pies that night and stuff as well?
Probably, aye.
And Colin says, get on with it, the Wains have got school in the morning, at an opposition player who was time-wasting during a midweek game.
Brilliant. I've got one final one from Susie that's just come in, and I think let's keep these coming in because there'll be some brilliant shit, especially you remember what Brockville was like. It was just some brilliant stuff. I mean we were in our teens when we went there, so it was that teenage wave where you just you pick up on things that were just some brilliant chat. But Susie's message saying, Scottish Cup game against Cove in 2018. Cove centre-half Eric Watson was targeted with some friendly banter by a group of Falkirk fans throughout the game. The game was stopped for an injury and Watson was over chatting to the linesman, who happened to be bald. He had his hand round the linesman's shoulder and a Falkirk fan shouted, "That'll be the only cunt you'll be touching this weekend, Watson." And then Watson rubbed the linesman's head. and Kosher erupted with laughter. Great response from Watson. Not very good with Twitter. Tried to put on your post, but was only showing half of it. So thanks, Susie, to DM'd us with that one there as well. And listen, keep them coming in. If you can't manage the character length on Twitter, you can always drop us a DM. And you can do it all on our Facebook, or you can do it on our Twitter, Falkirk Daft. Or on Instagram as well, Falkirk Daft Pod up there. So keep them coming in. We'll get more of your shouts and funny things you've heard at the football next week.
This is Falkirk Daft.
We've got to say a big thanks to Arbuckle Contractors and Plant Hire. They are our sponsors this week on Falkirk Daft, based in Falkirk. If you need anything to do with construction or hard landscaping services, they are the guys to go to. arbucklecontractors.co.uk is where you want to get to for that. Every week on Falkirk Daft Hour, we look ahead to the match, which we've got coming in. Our next game is against Queen of the South, and we're going to speak to a man we spoke to earlier on this season. He's looking up, I don't know if he's looking happier because he came in with bravado at the start of the season. It's Ewan from the Dumfries Courier. How you doing, mate?
I'm very well, thanks. Yes, I'm not as confident as I was maybe a couple of months ago.
I know. What's been going on down there, Ewan? Fill us in. Obviously, you had a bit of nightmare start off the season, getting beaten by Clyde in that game. You obviously beat them, made up for it there at the weekend there. We saw you guys up at the Falkirk Stadium. We beat you quite comfortably there. What's been going on at Queen's this season?
Well, I think we'll go back to the last time we played you. I thought we were very soft defensively, never got going, and you bullied us off the ball. But since then, we've only lost two league matches, and we've lost one out of our last seven, and that was against them pesky Kelty Hearts that we all know and love. Eh?
Yeah,
one or two there.
Yeah, so we've picked up draws here and there. I think about two. We should probably have won both of them games against Airdrie and Alloa. We battered Alloa for 89 minutes. It looked the most comfortable 1-0 wins ever. And then they got the other end and score. Classic. But then we've won our last two games against Clyde and Peterhead. I know they're diddies in the league, etc., etc. Performances against them, not great. But to get the wins on the board, it's confidence, I hope, going into this game. And I think the return of Ian Wilson has been important for us in the centre of the midfield. I think he missed out against Falkirk. And he's a player who, when he plays, he gets right into it, getting the nitty-gritty, does the basics well, and he gets the team going around him. So hopefully he's a doubt for Saturday, you'll be glad to hear.
Fantastic.
And another doubt is, well, most probably out, is Josh Todd. He picked up a hamstring injury against Peterhead 2 weeks ago.
Has he still got the man bun?
He does, yeah. He changed it up in the last game he was actually. And I can't remember what you would call it, but it wasn't the actual man bun.
I know. When he came to the stadium, I was like, is that a Josh Todd with a man bun?
I know. And another thing as well that I can't believe, if he does make it for Saturday, that'll be his 100th game for Queens.
Which, oh, wow.
How's he done that?
please tell me, Rudy Payton or Connor Murray are out for Saturday?
No, they're not. No,
damn it. Rudy Payton seems to be your man this season, Ewan.
Yes, he does. But he's had a bit of flack recently with the Queens supporters. He missed
really? Stuff, I mean, 8 goals and 4 assists.
Yes, I know, but to be fair, if you watched our games, he probably should be sitting on 15 goals. He missed a bundle load against Alloa in the 1-1 draw. I think he could have probably have had a 9-minute hat trick, but it was the same miss who kept doing it. And then that Queens fans love Rudy Payton. They love him. The off the ball stuff as well. He is fantastic and a great character, but I don't think he has that clinical touch at times. I know saying that, he's a top goal scorer, scored 5 in the league so far. But I think that goal on Saturday against Clyde, again, give him a wee boost. Mm. Conor Murray as well, what a penalty it was on Saturday. No keeper in the world, I think, would save it. Pinpoint accuracy. Oh. Can go missing in games, though. But Willie Gibson trusts him. He brought him in. This is his second spell at Queen's. And the manager really likes him. And I think he's a good player on his day.
Talking about the manager, Ewan, is he under a wee bit of pressure from the supporters? Has there not been any kind of, you know, rumblings thus far?
The tide was turning definitely.
There was reports of a bust up with Lee Connolly. I'd heard that, but I don't know if that how much
there is in that. That was to do with someone online on social media basically saying, why are you not giving Connolly a game? And then Connolly's mum. Lee Connolly's mum asks Lee, have you had a bust up with the manager? And he's like, no, I haven't. I don't know why he's been on the bench recently, and he is one of Queen's best players, in my opinion. He was one of the player of the years last season. But I think this season he scored that goal against Rangers. But since then, he's not really done too much. He's came off the bench here and there, started against Kelly, missed a sitter. And that's maybe that's why he's not been featuring as much. But so the pressure away Willie Gibson has been, why are you not playing yourself? Because he's not been starting. And a lot of Queen's fans think we're a better side with Willie Gibson in the side. He did play a few matches, but in the recent, I think, 4 or 5 games, he's not featured at all, not on the bench. So Queen's fans are frustrated by that. They think he's one of our best players. And the result against Kelty, a lot of fans were getting on Willie's back after that. And he would say he accepts the pressure. The pressure should be on him and not the players. But since then, they've got the job done against Peterhead and Clyde, albeit not playing well, but winning ugly is important, in my opinion. But hopefully he can ride the tide, but it will be an interesting November for Willie.
Yeah.
You know, Ewan, one thing you said there, obviously, about Connolly's mum getting involved. I don't think we have enough of that in Scottish football. I think mums should get involved with Twitter arguments far, far more.
I love it. Absolutely. Well, we've got Jen, Nicky and Jay's mum was getting involved in Twitter. We've had Finn's mum getting involved in their Twitter as well. So, yeah, more mums in Scottish football. That's exactly. What we're saying. Exactly. Love that. Love that. Talking about Willie Gibson, obviously a bit of history made a couple of weeks ago against FC Edinburgh, Ewan, with both Willie and his son, Lewis, on the park at the same time.
Yes, I've been waiting for that to happen for months because I've had the back page sitting there. Well, it was never going to happen, but it finally happened. And yeah, it was quite funny, actually. I think he came on when it was 4-0 or 4-1. Lewis Gibson was on the ball. His dad was on the pitch. He came into the box. He could have squared it to his dad, but he didn't. And the roles reversed very quickly because Willie Gibson was in the same position and Lewis was screaming for the ball and he never passed it to him.
Did they have a proper ding-dong after it? Were they proper shouting at each other? I'd love that.
He was like, oh, my dad thinks there's someone coming behind me, so I'll let him off on that one.
that would have been set up perfectly for Willie Gibson's wife to then come on Twitter and have a go at him. passing to your son.
Lewis's granny, Willie's mum. We're seeing more Moss and football. That's what we want. What was your headline? You must have had a headline sitting waiting for you there.
Oh, I can't remember off the top of my head now.
Father and son.
I think it was Gibson with the son highlighted.
Oh, very good. Gibson. Yeah, I like that.
But yeah, there's been a bit of history there, which, as I said, I've been waiting to do. And Lewis Gibson, it actually reminds me of Willie Gibson when he was 10, 15 years, 15 years ago. He's an exciting winger, and that's what Willie was at the start of his career. And honestly, I would actually start Lewis Gibson against us, yeah.
Ooh. we'll wait and see if that'd be interesting. I wonder if it'll happen again against us. 17-10, Queen of the South after the win, 11-5, the draw, and Falkirk favourites at 7-5. Where's your money going? What's the score going to be, Ewan?
I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw, boring 1-1 draw. I'll take a point right now. I don't know if you guys agree. Maybe you're a wee bit hurt after Saturday. But I was looking up there that you actually don't have a great record at Palmerston, Wixham.
No, we don't.
But then I remember that you had Paul Hartley and Ray McKinnon and all that. But sorry to bring that up.
Yeah, we didn't have a good record anywhere when they were the manager.
No. 1-1 from you and Ross.
Right, I'm going to go completely off the ball. I think we'll win quite comfortably. I think they'll have got a rocket up the backside, and I think it will be 3-0 Falkirk.
Oh, I'm. Do you know what? I can't call it after Saturday. I really can't, because that was fucking terrible on Saturday. I want to say a Falkirk win, but my head is saying a draw. But we need to win. We need to win. I mean, you guys need to win as well. We're 5 points off us at the moment, you, and to get back into any kind of contention, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. I think if we lose, then we're in no man's land, really, which is not a great place to be. I do think that we need to beat the rest of, like, Falkirk, Montrose, Dunfermline, and even Alloa, to be fair, but because we've picked up wins against the side, so you probably, yes, the Diddies, Clyde and Peterhead, we comfortably beat FC Edinburgh. I don't know how they're still doing it.
Terrible. We played them, we were awful, but something's changed.
Yeah, something's definitely, but like we horsed them 4-0 and 4-1 twice in the space of 5 days, and I'm thinking this is the worst team I've ever seen at Palmerston Park. And they were top of the league at that moment of time. But yeah, we need to win against one of the big boys in the league, I think. I can't believe about Airdrie, how they've managed to...
The wheels have come off there. It's mental.
In the league, can't believe it. But yeah, hopefully we can turn up. We're turning a little corner right now. If we get 3 points against Falkirk, I think everybody will be delighted with that.
Oh, God, let's hope it doesn't happen. Ewan Maxwell, Chief Reporter for the Dumfries Courier, thank you once again for joining us on Falkirk Daft.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
Ewan, thanks as ever, mate. Brilliant.
Cheers, buddy. Appreciate that.
That's no problem. I was going to say, I'll wear this shirt. This is the blacked out Queen shirt for the men.
Oh, yeah, I like that. No, I saw that
class, one.
I was going to mention that, but I forgot. But, doesn't matter.
No worries. Brilliant. Ewan, thanks, pal.
Cheers, guys.
This is Falkirk Daft.
So that's it for this week's Falkirk Daft, the good, the bad and the ugly we're dealt with. But we've got to say, once again, thank you very much to our sponsors this week. That is Arbuckle Contractors and Plant Hires. They are based in Falkirk. They will offer you construction and hard landscaping service for domestic driveways, porcelain or sandstone patios, steps, paths, decking and timber structures, you name it, they will get it sorted for you. High quality professional and an excellent attention to detail, you'll expect that from Andrew and the team over there. So if you need any contractors for any of that, or you're just looking for plant hire, arbucklecontractors.co.uk, that's arbucklecontractors.co.uk. So our Falkirk Daft done then, Ross. How you feeling? You still angry?
I'm a wee bit angry now. I'm glad we've talked it through, as always.
Well, it's been a bit of a therapy session, hasn't it?
It has been a therapy.
It always feels after a loss, it's like a therapy session.
Exactly. And we've had Scotty's music on. And,
that was enjoyable. I loved that. Yeah, a bit of music.
It's kind of chill me out a bit, actually, now. Right, so,
Yeah, well, hopefully we're not having our therapy session next week, and 3 points against Queen of the South and Dumfries is a must. And we've got to hope that, I mean, we keep talking Dunfermline, Ross, but as we said to you, and FC Edinburgh are starting
And that's the week after Dunfermline, so yep, that one's shaping up like a big game as well.
Three massive games. These three games are the season-defining games we need to do. Right, there's 9 points on the board at the next three games. What's a minimum for you, Ross? Is it 7 or is it 9?
7. Minimum. A 7 minimum, because I think if we got 2 wins for the 2 home games, and if we picked up a point, and I know I just said about a win and 3-0, I do think we need to win on Saturday. But if we got a point and the Pars didn't win on Saturday, then it might not be the worst point in the world.
Yeah.
So seven. If I'm being greedy, nine, but realistic. Seven would probably be
more. Okay, fingers crossed. Thank you very much for listening or watching Falkirk Daft. You'll get us here every week on wherever you subscribe to us. Maybe you're on the YouTube, like and subscribe, follow, comment below, or you can review us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. We're on everywhere, we're everywhere. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that jazz. Get involved in the chat on there, we'd love to hear from you. And we've got a Discord channel, the links are below. You can get involved with the group chat on there as well if you fancy. We had Arbuckle contractors and plant hires on this week, but if you want to sponsor the show, we'd love to hear from you as well. Drop us an email, falkirkdaftpod@gmail.com. Do you have any other business, Ross Wayne?
Not at all, John. Just as always, expect unexpected, buddy.